Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to be in God's house this morning. We're going to open our service this morning with the hymn, The Solid Rock. So we'd ask that you join in with us. If you're able to stand, please stand, and we'll shake hands on the last verse. Okay, let's join in together as we sing.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Darkness seems to hide. place I rest on is unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, even is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Good, it's my pleasure to welcome everyone today. If we have visitors, special welcome to you. Let's greet each other as we sing the last verse.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, Simon said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. So we are glad to see you here today. I'm glad that you came to be a part of our worship service this morning. It's good to see your smiling faces. We welcome those who are watching by Facebook today and those who watch by YouTube, and also our radio listeners. We welcome you to worship with us today in our service. I'll be preaching today from the book of Ephesians, and we'll be talking about spiritual warfare. So we'll be looking at that this morning in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for this time that you've given to us. And Lord, we want to worship you today in spirit and truth. It's good to be here. It's good to be with the family of God. And Father, we find so much encouragement by being together. We find our strength in you, and you give us strength for each day. We need that strength today. Help us, Lord, to honor you today and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Some of the announcements listed there today. Deacons will meet at 4 o'clock today. Also in your bulletin, there's a list of a lineup, I guess, of Wednesday night activities for the next several weeks. Pay special close attention to those upcoming events as we have something scheduled each Wednesday night through July and August. So keep that in mind. And school will be starting here pretty soon, so keep our children and schools, administrative staff, and all those involved in our school system in our prayers as well. We're going to continue with our singing this morning, hymns, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, and I Know Whom I Have Believed In. You join in with us this morning.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory for the cross on Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through His loving arms around me, drew me back into His way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls. draws its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I know not why God's wondrous lengths to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I am believing, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I am believing, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in. Persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Thank you. Great songs of faith and commitment. As our pastor said, he's going to be talking about spiritual warfare this morning. So that's, we wanted to sing songs about faith. And this is, the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not our battle. It's his. And we need trust in him. So we're going to ask that you stand with us. If you're able to stand, stand, and we'll sing this first one. You can sit on the second one. Join in with us. The battle belongs to you.
For you, when all I see are these.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win.
There's a verse in that song about talking about our fears, and that's what this song is about. Our fears don't have a chance when we stand in the love of Christ. Brian will have the solo on the verses.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Shame no longer has a place to hide. A captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love cast away all fear. We thank you that we can stand in your love. We thank you that we can turn the battle over to you. May we realize, God, that you are in complete control. We turn everything over to you, our fears, our anxieties, our worries, everything that we can't control. God, we pray we turn over to you. Thank you for the opportunity to sing your praises this morning. We pray that we'd open our hearts to receive your word today in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team, congregation, for your singing today. Do you remember where you were when 9/11 happened? Fred and I, we were sitting together at Park West Hospital in the waiting room there. Fred's mama was having surgery, and so we were there. And of course, they had TVs in the waiting room, and we saw the first plane hit, and then the rest of the day unfolded. What 9/11 taught us, though, was this, that we were not prepared for something like that. And it also taught us that we didn't know who the enemy was. I'm going to talk today about spiritual warfare. I've been praying about this for some weeks now, and I've been preparing for this, because I really do believe that it's something we need to think about, something we need to address from the Bible, the Word of God. Recent Gallup poll, now this is taken among Christians. Only 4 out of 10 believers believe that the devil is real. And then you go outside of that, then most people today do not believe that the devil is a real person. There is a spiritual warfare going on, folks, and it's real. The Bible refers to it as an invisible war, and it's a real battle that we're in. Kind of to show you how things work out, I've been preparing for this, and about a week ago, Barry sent me a video on YouTube. He said, I want you to look at this. And I'm going to play this video for you. How many of you remember Paul Harvey? If you do, raise your hand. You remember Paul Harvey? How many don't have a clue who I'm talking about when I talk about Paul Harvey? Anybody? Well, he was a pretty popular radio commentator. This video that I'm going to show you was a commentary that Paul Harvey did, and this is almost 60 years old. So the audio, you're going to have to listen, you know, pretty close to it. But when Barry sent me that, what we talked about is how much of what he said has come true. When you listen to this, I want you to think about it. Think about your feelings about it. Think about what he says in this short video and kind of get your thoughts about where we're going to go with this today. So we're going to try it. Blake, if you're ready, let's go ahead. If I were the devil.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
What'd you think about that? As I listened to that, I knew that Paul Harvey had given that commentary, and I'd really had forgotten about it until I was sent the YouTube video. But what struck me about it is how much of what Paul Harvey said almost 60 years ago has come true before our very eyes. And the point is, if I were the devil, as Paul Harvey said, I'd just keep on doing what I've been doing. The Bible addresses this in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Listen to the scriptures from this chapter. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That's the methods, that's the schemes, the plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, what that tells you is that the devil's organized. He knows what he's doing, okay? Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We are in the evil day. This is the evil day that the Bible speaks of, that we're living in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer. What the Bible tells us here is this, that the spiritual warfare is real. For those who choose to live a faithful life, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow the teaching of the Bible, you're going to be in a battle. And you've got to understand that this battle is real. You need to understand that Satan is real, that he doesn't want the best for your life. God does. It is the age-old battle that is between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, between Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. I know that there are people who really don't believe what I'm talking about here today. I understand that. And I understand that with all our culture, with all our sophistication today, with all our education and everything, then we just think that some people think that this is just made up stuff. But it isn't. It's very real. What became very apparent to me was that when I started to prepare to preach this message today, that the devil was doing everything he can to keep me from preaching it. And I ran into that. But I do know that what the Bible says is true. When we think about Satan's main goal, what his main goal is for you as a believer is to destroy your faith. That's what he wants to do. And the way he's going to do that is to get you to doubt the goodness of God, to doubt the forgiveness of God, to doubt the love of God, and even more than that, to doubt the Word of God. We're in a day today where most people in America still believe that the Bible is the Word of God. But the percentage is declining every year for those who believe that the Bible is actually the Word of God. We believe the Bible is God's Word and its authority is for our lives. When Satan brings about difficult circumstance in our lives, he not only wants to do that to inflict pain and suffering, and we see that, folks, in our world today, everywhere we look. I mean, look at all the suffering and evil and pain that's in the world today. That's not God. That doesn't come from God. That comes from Satan. That comes from the devil. It comes from the wickedness and evil that is in the world today. But that's what his job is. That's what Satan is trying to do in this spiritual battle. But in bringing about these difficult circumstances that we all go through, the difficulties of life that we face, then here's another thing Satan wants to do. He wants to turn you away from God. He wants to turn your faith away from God, to doubt God and not to believe in God. So what the Bible does here in Ephesians and other places in the Bible is to reveal the strategies of Satan. There's a big picture here, and there's a smaller picture here. But that's what we see in the Bible. Now, we understand this from the Bible. You know, what Satan has been given is temporary power and control in this world. The Bible calls him the prince of the air. He is the king of darkness in this world. And that's how the Bible describes him. 1 John 5:19 talks about that. 1 John 3:8 talks about that. But it's only temporary. But here's what we know also, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Where's our hope? Where's our power? How do we live in the victory against Satan? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that it is through God, that it's through his strength, that it is through his power, that with anything, any trial, any temptation, any difficulty, any circumstance that Satan may bring into our life, then God makes a way of escape. How does he do that? He enables us with a power that we do not have. That is his power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. See, Satan is powerful. He has a lot of power. But there's one who has greater power than Satan, and that is God. And that is where the victory is. That is where we overcome. I want to talk to you about the preparation, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the armor, and then I'll be through. I'll be quick with this, okay? So the preparation, verse 10 tells us, is that it is in the strength of the Lord. The only way that we can face Satan and the evil and the wickedness that is in the world today and to overcome that, it's not going to be in our strength. We don't have that kind of strength. It's not in our power to do that. But it is in God. It's in Christ. We're in Christ. He is our life. He is our power. He is our truth. He's our way. And He is our strength. And so the Bible says that that's where the strength is. That's where the power is. 1 John 4:4 says it this way. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Many people today downplay what I'm talking about today. They downplay it. They don't believe in it. But it is real. And the danger is this. As a believer, if you downplay what I'm talking about today, and you're really not with this on the same page, you're walking a very dangerous line. Because it is real. And what I'm trying to sound the alarm about today is, we need to understand the battle. We need to understand the enemy. We need to understand that we are in an invisible war. We're in warfare with Satan. I've written down here two things happening today that I thought that I'd never see happening. And I want you to think about this. Number one, spiritual warfare today is much more intense than it's ever been. And I really do think that Satan is bolder now than he's ever been. The intensity of the warfare that we see in our world today is great. I mean, you can feel it. You can just feel it in our world today. Number two, what I thought I'd never see is this. I've already mentioned that many Christians are not taking the spiritual warfare seriously. In other words, they do not believe that we are in a spiritual warfare, but we are. We are in a battle. Now, I want to sound the alarm this morning by saying this, that what we need to do is what the Bible says, and that is to put on the whole armor of God. And I'll talk about this and very quickly, and I'll be through. You see, what Satan wants to do is this. He wants to keep you from God's strength. Because the only way that we're going to defeat Satan is through God's strength, through His power. And so we overcome the wickedness, we overcome the evil in the world, all the chaos that's caused by Satan, we overcome it through the strength of the Lord, through His power, through His might. The battle belongs to Him. You see, what Satan is doing today is just temporary. Now, we're in a battle, but we know what the outcome of the war is going to be. He is a defeated foe. We understand that. But the battle today is real. So what the Bible tells us here, what Paul tells us is, in this battle, we need to put on the armor. The first piece of armor that he talks about is the belt. He talks about the waist. What is represented by the belt? What's represented by the belt is integrity. It's truth. It's living truth. It's being honest. It's living a life of integrity. That's what the belt of truth represents. And so how do we overcome the lies of Satan? How do we do that? Through truth. Through the truth of God's Word. And then he talks about the breastplate. This breastplate was worn from the neck, the chest area, down to the bottom to the top of the waist. What it protected was your heart. And it protected the vital organs in one's body. That's the breastplate. It's called the breastplate of righteousness. But what the breastplate represents to us is righteousness. That's what it is. And so as we think about this, you know, we think about the righteousness of God and the righteousness that He's given us. It's simply living the right kind of life. Now, this is not talking, when the Bible talks about us living a righteous life, it's not talking about perfection, because none of us are perfect. We're not. But we have His righteousness in us, but it protects our heart. In other words, what Paul's saying here is, have a pure heart, the right kind of motives, the right kind of values that honor God. That's what he's talking about. And then the third piece of armor here is the shoes of the gospel. Now, what that does for us is it gives us, what it represents is serenity. These shoes that they wore were really like football cleats. And it would give the Roman soldier stability in his life. When he was out on the battlefield, he wouldn't slip, he wouldn't fall. But what the gospel of peace represents is the peace that God gives us. And through His peace, no matter of the difficulty, no matter the circumstance, no matter how great the battle is, no matter what Satan is throwing against us, we can have peace. We can have serenity. We can have serenity in the battles of life. There's three kinds of peace. There's peace with yourself. There's peace with God. And then there's peace with other people. The third one is more difficult, because what that depends on is responses of people. It might depend on the response of your enemies or whatever, their attitudes and so forth. And that's why the Bible says in Romans, as much as in you is, live at peace with all men. But what the shoes of the gospel do is they give us peace and life. And that's how we overcome the anxiety that Satan brings to us, is through God's peace that he gives us. Then he talks about the shield of faith. This shield that the Roman soldier carried was 2 feet wide, 4 feet long. What they would do is take animal skin and they would cover the wooden shield or the metal shield with animal skin. What they would do is use that to protect themselves against what the Bible calls here the fiery darts. The fiery darts that would be shot at them in battle. They could get behind this shield and it would protect them. Paul tells us here that the devil is shooting fiery darts at us. That's why we need the shield of faith. You know what those darts are? Doubt, discouragement, disappointment. I mean, you just go on and on and on down the line. So what he wants to do now, what Satan wants to do, is destroy you. He really wants to do that. He wants to destroy your faith in God. So we have the shield of faith. And then the Bible talks about the helmet of salvation. And of course, that protects your mind. That represents sanity. Sanity in life. Keep your sanity. To keep your mind protected. And see, that's where the devil is going to work. That's where the warfare is. It's going to be in your mind. And that's why it's so important to have the helmet of salvation, to have the protection of Christ, to think about the things that he'd have us think about from the Word of God. And then the last piece of armor that he talks about is the sword of the Spirit. You know what that is? That is the Word of God. Do you know when the Bible becomes your sword? The Bible becomes your sword when you memorize Scripture. Because when you get into the battle, and one of those fiery darts is coming at you, you may not have time to, okay, what was that verse and where is that chapter, that kind of thing. But if you hide it in your heart and you hide it in your mind, God's Word, then you have a weapon there that you can use. So it is the Word of God. So we go to the Word of God. And so it is through faith. It is through faith, through prayer, that we put on the armor. I'm going to close with this. I was reading Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 gives us the image of the devil in the metaphor of a dragon. It talks about the dragon that was cast out of heaven. And as you know, Satan didn't start off as Satan. He started off as Lucifer. He was an angel, his created being. He was in heaven. But he decided that he wanted to be God. He decided he wanted to overthrow God. And so the Bible tells us in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Revelation, other places where Satan was cast out of heaven. And his domain became this earth. The first temptation was in Genesis chapter 3. In the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. That's where all the suffering, all the evil, all the sin in the world today, that's where it started. But in reading Revelation 12, here's two thoughts that I wanted to give you. Number one, that chapter tells us this. Satan is already defeated. He is a defeated foe. Revelation says one day he will be cast into the bottomless pit with the beast and the false prophet forever and ever and ever. That day hasn't come yet. Until that day comes, then, you know, we're in the battle. We're in the warfare. But we know how the war is going to win. Folks, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because of what he accomplished there through his death on the cross, his resurrection, he has defeated Satan. And our victory is in Christ. That's where our victory is. But another thing that I gained from reading that chapter was this, that the war will continue until the end. Until the end, we're going to be in this battle. And so what my thought was today is this, is to look at this, to share it with you, and hopefully to help you have a greater awareness of the evil, suffering, all the stuff we see in the world today. And to understand, we are in a battle. Folks, I mean, this is spiritual warfare that we're in. And the only way we're going to win that battle is with the help of the Lord, with His strength, with His might. Now let me say this. As believers, we're in this battle. If you're not a believer, then you need to trust Christ. And you need to open your life to Him and open your heart to Him and follow Him. And then you'll find the strength, the faith, the power that you need to live in this world today. That is what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we're on the winning side, aren't you? I'm glad that Jesus Christ has won the victory for us. And that is our hope. That's the encouragement. And that's what I want you to take away. We do have hope, and it is in Christ. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for these scriptures today. Help us, Lord, to be prepared for the battle by putting on the whole armor of God. And Lord, today, I pray that you'd help us to understand that we have a real enemy. The enemy is Satan. And what he wants to do is to turn us away from you. He wants us to have doubt in your love and your forgiveness and your grace. Father, today I pray that you'd strengthen us. Give us strength for this day. Give us strength for the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Give us daily strength as we are in this battle, because we need your help. For those today who need to open their life to you, to open their heart to you, I pray that they would come today and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and find this hope that we've talked about today. Lord, we know that you love us. You want the very best for us. And we find that in the life that Christ gives to us. He is our life. He's our hope. He is our all. And in him we trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together, please.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Thank you for being here today, and you know, I am what I am, and when we come to passages in the Bible, that's what I preach. I preach the Bible, and this is something we need to think about, and something that I really felt strong about, and I wanted to just share my heart with you today, and that's just where I am with this. So go this week in the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Thank you for being here today.
We'll close this morning with "Change Our Heart, O God, Make Us More Like You." Join in with us as we close our service.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
Thank you, you're dismissed.